Please take your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 14. And I'll be reading verses 8 through 20. And out of reverence to God, please stand as his word is read. Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 8. In Lystra, a man was sitting who was without strength in his feet, had never walked, and had been lame from birth. He listened as Paul spoke. After looking directly at him and seeing that he had faith to be healed, Paul said in a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet." And he jumped up and began to walk around. When the crowd saw that what Paul had done, they shouted, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priests of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the town, brought bulls and wreaths to the gates because he intended, with the crowds, to offer sacrifice. The apostles, Barnabas and Paul, tore their robes when they heard this and rushed into the crowd shouting, "People, why are you doing these things? We are people also, just like you, and we are proclaiming good news to you that you turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to go their own way, although he did not leave himself without a witness, since he did what is good by giving you rain from heaven and fruitful seasons and filling you with food and your hearts with joy." Even though they said these things, they barely stopped the crowds from sacrificing to them. Some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and when they had won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, thinking he was dead. After the disciples gathered around him, he got up and went into the town. The next day, he left with Barnabas for Derbe. You may be seated. Yeah, we got some fickle crowds there. Yeah. Well, that's a... Luke was a doctor. He wrote the book of Acts. If Paul's getting beat up all the time, he needs a doctor with him. So Dr. Luke is going to be with the crowd soon. Sunday, we were looking at facing opposition. We looked at the first part of chapter 14. On your map, you have there that Paul had, number three, Paul had faced problems in Barnabas and Antioch. They went down to Iconium, which was an out-of-the-way place. Compared it to Anahuac. Yeah. If you find yourself in Anahuac, you're either lost or you were intending to go there. It's not on, well, I could say it's not on the way to anywhere, but there are a couple of fishing villages a little further down, but that's about it. You got to be heading there to get there. But in the early 1980s, when I was working for Pepsi, they liked Pepsi in Anahuac, so I sold a lot there. And this off the beaten path was Iconium. And so Paul and Barnabas, they went into the synagogue. They preached there. But they faced opposition by those that wouldn't believe the truth. And there was still opportunity. There were people that still wanted to hear the truth, as well as those that didn't want to hear the truth that were opposing it. But since there was still opportunity, Paul and Barnabas spent a long time in Iconium because people were still willing to listen. And as we talked about Sunday, sometimes we face opposition. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the time to move on. As long as there are some people that will listen. You know, I was thinking about and chuckling to myself. We're a lot like pre-K students to God. Some of us listen. Some of us listen for a little while and go our own way. Some of us won't listen at all. But in my class, there are a lot that will listen. Not all day, but for a good part of the day. When we are talking to people about Jesus and the good news, as long as they're receiving part of the message, they're open to hearing more. Maybe they don't believe, but they don't not believe. I'm not sure yet. I want to hear more. We keep telling them the truth. But there are some people that won't put up with anything. And when it comes to that point, it's time to move on to another place where they will listen. And that's what happened in Iconium. And so Paul and Barnabas left Iconium and went down to Lystra. Lystra's down closer to the main road. And in Lystra, that's where we find Paul and Barnabas. They find a man who is a cripple. And if you don't understand, he's a cripple. Now Luke explains it well. He has no strength in his feet. He's never walked. And he was lame from birth. So it's not somebody that had a sprained ankle and now they're okay. Somebody that has never walked, and they knew that in Lystra. It's similar to what Peter did earlier in the book of Acts, where there was a man at the beautiful gate that had been crippled from birth. And Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I have, I'll give you. Stand up and walk in the name of Jesus." And just like that, the person that had never walked, the person that had no strength in their legs, jumped up and started dancing around. Now, little Wes, my grandson, Lana showed me a video. Him taking his steps. When a little child, and we call them toddlers, because they toddle. We could say they're weeblers too because they weeble and they wobble. But they do fall down. So maybe weeble is not missing. But they're getting their sense of balance. This guy has never gone through that stage. But he's immediately jumping up and running around. You know, at the end of the day, it's sort of hard for me to get up, jump up, and run around. But this man had never done it, but he knew how to do it because God not only healed him, but gave him the ability to have coordination, not to fall over. Well, this man, why was he healed? Well, he was sitting, listening to the message. And Paul looked and saw he had faith. Now, do people look at us and see we have faith? Can people tell we have faith? Maybe not strangers. Can our family tell we have faith? Can strangers tell we have faith? Paul didn't know this guy, but he saw he had faith to be healed. I've told the story many times about the tightrope walker across Niagara Falls. He said, "Do you think I can push a wheelbarrow across this tightrope across Niagara Falls?" Crowd, "Yes, yes." "Do you think I can push a wheelbarrow with somebody in it?" "Yes, yes." "Okay, get in." How many people have faith to get in the wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls? We say we can trust somebody to do it. We say we trust Jesus with everything. We say we're trusting Jesus with our eternity, where we're going to spend the most of our life. You know, some of us, as we get older, we think, oh, you know, I've lived so long. No, it's like Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, we've only just begun. In the grand scheme of things, we're not even out of diapers yet. And how long we're going to live. This man doesn't give his name. The formerly lame man from Lystra. Paul saw his faith. And he told him, get up. And what did the man do? He jumped up. He had faith. He's not going, you know, I better hold on to something. I don't know how this is going to work. He jumped right up. And what did the crowd do? They saw and misunderstood. A lot of people see things and try to attribute it to something else. We see God providing, and other people say, it's just my own efforts. It's just me working hard for a long time. Me working hard for a long time just gets me tired. I can't accomplish anything without God's help, without God's direction, without God's permission. Every one of us here, if God says you're not going to take another breath, it's not going to take another breath. God could certainly say, oxygen be gone, and it's gone. But God gives us another breath, another heartbeat. The crowd saw, and they say, oh, I want to know what this is. This is what we've been told about, that our gods come down and walk among us and do things like we would do. Yeah, Zeus was one that came around and would find a cute girl and get her pregnant. That's where Hercules came from. Hercules was a child of Zeus and a human. But Paul didn't understand what's going on, because they're talking in a language he didn't understand. But then he finds out what they're talking about. And he rushes out in the crowd and they tear their robes as a sign of intense grief. We are people just like you. In chapter 12, verses 20 through 23, King Herod gave a speech, and the people said, oh, a God has spoken to us. They are so eloquent, those words. And Herod, yeah, I am a good speaker. And he died with a worm infection immediately. Now, I'm not sure if that was on Paul and Barnabas' mind. I doubt it. They understood. They were just servants. But Herod accepted people calling him a god. Praise Herod didn't deserve. Paul and Barnabas did not accept the praise they did not deserve. They recognized their situation. Like when people ask me most of the time, how are you doing? Better than I deserve. I stole that from Dave Ramsey. Because we don't deserve how good we have it. And we got some bad things that we call bad here and there, but nothing compared to what it could be like. There are no fires burning around us. There's no brimstone. We're not in pitch black, but having the fires all around it. I used to not understand that until I went through firefighting school. If you've ever been in a real fire, in a building with a real fire at least, We had a little walkway we could walk through. You can feel the heat of the fire around you, but the smoke makes it where you cannot see. It can be pitch black, and the flames roaring around you. Paul and Barnabas said, "Don't do this. We are just here to tell you about the true God. We want to give you the good news." The good news: turn from worthless things like Zeus and Hermes. Turn from the fakes and turn to the real thing. The real God made heaven. That's everything out there. Made the earth, everything right here. The sea, everything in the water. And everything else. This is the true God. And he wants you to follow him. And people, they're going, "Yes." Until the unbelievers come from Pisidian, Antioch, and Iconium. Now, here's the crowd. "Let's worship you, Paul and Barnabas." But the unbelieving Jewish leaders from Iconium and Pisidian, Antioch, convince the crowd, instead of worship them, because you saw them heal this guy, "Let's kill him." Like flipping a switch. Which reminds me of pre-K students. And a lot of adults too. They can turn from "this is the best thing" to "this is the best thing." Just like flipping a switch. The Jews from Iconium and Antioch opposed the true message. And they weren't content to not believe it themselves. They wanted everybody else to not believe it themselves. Reminds me of what Jesus said about the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees. "You heap a pile of rules on people, and you won't even lift a finger. You will travel 1,000 miles to make a convert. And to make them worse than you are." It wasn't easy traveling at that time. These people from Antioch and Iconium went out of their way to oppose the truth. We should not be surprised that people go out of their way to oppose the truth. Because there are a lot of people that are being used by satanic forces to lead people astray. Some of them know they're being used. Most don't know they're being used. "It can't be true what the Bible says." Have you ever read what the Bible says? "Well, no, I just know it's not true." Let's look at the truth. Paul and Barnabas. Paul was stoned. They thought he was dead, and he walked back into town. And then he left the next day. He's going to come back through these towns. Remember, I'm the guy you didn't believe? Because there are people in each of these towns, even though there were a lot that wouldn't believe, that would listen. We need to follow that example. If people will listen, we keep talking. And we leave the results up to God. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, I thank you for the example of Paul and Barnabas, for the example not to take credit for what you do, but to remind others we are just your servant. You are the one we are to praise. You are the one that we are to point people to, not ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.